Gentlemen, to the show that's all about unity and scumbaggery, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Our next door neighbours is a desert surrounded by alcoholics, Australia, where my very special guest, Max Egan, is from. Max, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Vinny. Very apt description of Australia, actually. Very good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty straightforward. People aren't very happy in Australia. A lot of them tend to be, well, Victoria bitter.
Well, a little bit. I mean, you can't blame them, though. I mean, it's a very, very controlled place, Australia. Some of the things that our government has done to us, it's a wonder you'd find anybody happy, actually. People just seem to walk around in a constant state of grumpiness and don't really know why.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's starting to look like the world now, isn't it?
Oh, it is, mate. Everything they're doing, I mean, that's why it's so important when you look at all this stuff is to not think of your country as being separate to the rest of the world. Because, I mean, what they've done over there, I believe the food bill just got in over there, didn't it?
I'm not sure if it's been passed yet, but it is being talked about and swizzled around.
Yeah, well, they've tried that here. They've tried it in America. They haven't been able to get it kind of through too many places yet. So they're trying it in all these different countries. And once they get a method that works and they actually get away with it, then that's what they'll do in all the other countries. So they use each country as a little testing ground and just see which works with we can try it in 20 different ways because we've got 20 different countries we control. So we'll just see which one works, and then we'll extrapolate that out. And it is, I mean, people are worried about global government, but in reality, global government is already here. It's been here for a long time. It's just been hidden in the shadows. It's just becoming more overt now, and it's becoming more in your face, and people are beginning to see that it's actually there. And we've even had ministers talking about it. We've had people over here like Bob Brown from the Green Party saying he welcomes global government. It's inevitable that we're going to have global government, and why shouldn't we manoeuvre Australia in a position where we're one of the heads of the global government?
I want to be at the head of the line for the guillotine in Marie Antoinette's France.
Well, this is incredible. I mean, this is the guy who's supposed to be the leader of the Green Party, right?
What do you expect from the commie Greens, though? Really? You know, it's like, a loving UN communist government. It'll be great. I can pour libations upon it and sacrifice right-wingers to my dark gods.
Yeah, well, like, you know, what I'm saying is, though, they're even talking about it openly. I mean, you've got the ministers laughing about it. You've got when chemtrails was brought up in the New Zealand Parliament, you had the guy there laughing his head off about it, saying, oh, they're talking about global government, you know, rah, 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 and laughing at what a big joke it was. And yet you've got people like Bob Brown saying that it's inevitable, and why shouldn't we put ourselves in a position where we're going to be one of the leaders? And if you look back at what they've always done with the three city states, and you look at the symbolism, I even said in my film, The Big Picture, in 2008, that Canberra was going to be one of the new city states. And there's every possibility of that.
Isn't Canberra currently undergoing construction of some massive pyramid or a cultic type structure?
Oh, look, they're doing something there. I'm not quite sure what it is. I've been a little bit out of the loop for the last month. I've been working on the film pretty solidly. But there's always sorts of weird stuff going on in Canberra. I mean, the whole design of Parliament House down there is kind of bizarre. And there's reputed to be some very large underground caverns beneath it and all sorts of stuff. So God knows what they're up to, really.
Like an Australian version of Denver Airport, like Desert Airport.
Well, yeah, like in Australia, there's a lot going on here that people don't realise. I mean, they've kept this place deserted for a very good reason. I mean, admittedly, a lot of it's desert, and it is literally desert. It's just sand and desert. It's like the Sahara, only bigger. And But they've kept it empty for a reason. You know, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of underground base activity. There's all sorts of stuff going on here.
Yeah, I interviewed Leonce Keeley, who was at Pine Gap, and he said that, mate, you literally needed to drive for quite some time underground to go from one end of the facility to the other. And it was so big that you couldn't actually really talk to people underground. You actually had to have a headset and a CB radio in order to communicate to people on the other side of the room.
Yeah, well, there's some weird stuff going on over there. Like I was down there in September. I was out in Alice, and we actually drove out to the entrance to Pine Gap. Very, very strange. You know, you get up to, I mean, and this is a major facility. You can't see any of it from the road. You sort of get there and there's this, you know, little checkpoint. But it's not a little checkpoint. You've got a fence that's about three stories high, a wire fence. You've got a sign saying, do not proceed past this point. No cameras, no photographs. If you proceed past this point, it's 7 years jail, basically. No trials. Just if you go past this sign, we're going to put you in jail for 7 years. Don't take any photographs. Go away, you know. And it was a very, very strange feeling. And as we were leaving the area, we all started getting headaches. And when we got back to Alice Springs, we all just wanted to lie down and go to sleep. And the facility is only about 17 kilometres out of Alice Springs. It's actually quite close to Alice.
But it sounds like something with a huge EMF frequency coming out of it.
Oh, absolutely. And it goes underground a huge way. And when you're in Alice Springs is a very, very strange town. There's a very strange energy there. And we were in a group of people. Actually, David Icke was on the tour as well with us. It's when we all went down to Ayers Rock in September last year. And there were people within our group that were having nightmares. The nights we stayed in Alice, people that don't normally have nightmares were having all these nightmares, and people just felt on edge, you know. It was a very, very strange feeling. And then you realise, well, Pine Gap probably runs straight underneath Alice Springs. There's all sorts of electromagnetic activity going on there. And it's just a very, very strange place. And it's so secret, it's so secure. You can't, there's one little section of road where you can catch a glimpse of the domes, the radar domes, but that's it. It's so secret. You cannot get anywhere near it. And
And well, this reminds me, speaking of like the deep holes and a really weird place being Alice Springs, it reminds me of a comedy sketch that was done by a New Zealand comedian called Radar. He did a tour of Australia some time ago, and he noticed that the outline of Australia, if you have a look at it on a map, it looks kind of like a butt, and right in the middle is Alice Springs.
Yeah, that's interesting. But there was talk I heard.
That's where Pine Gap is.
Well, yeah, it's the sphincter of the world, mate. But there was a person down there, a guy who knew some people who worked at the base. I mean, this is hearsay, of course. I got no way of proving this. But what he told me was that they'd been pouring like 90 meters of concrete or something an hour. 24 hours a day for the last 6 months or year in Pine Gap. So God knows what they're building down there. God knows what extensions they're getting. There are very, very large military aircraft arrive there all the time from the United States. They even got their own cars in there, left-hand drive cars they drive around the place with. Like it's completely American in there. So, yeah, they don't buy their food from Alice. They don't have anything to do with the local community at all. It's all shipped in from overseas.
Well, I don't think that having foreign troops on your soil is a good idea at all, right? Just basically that's my base principle. And speaking of which, haven't like 2,500 or 25,000 US troops recently been imported into the United States, and they're going to be doing training separate from Australian forces, and they've got their own bases and all of that kind of stuff?
Well, they want to put a military base up near Darwin. I'm not sure how many troops they're bringing in at this stage. I think it's only a couple of thousand to start with, but they want to put a military base up near Darwin. You know, they're turning Australia into a mine is what they're doing, you know, and you know, a lot of the land here has been bought by China. It's so huge what's actually going on if you look at it in a global scale. But you've got to look at it in a global scale, because turning Australia into a mine, you think, well, what's the point of that? How can Australia benefit from that? But you've got to stop thinking about nations. I mean, Australia's a corporation, and it's got a government which is the corporate head, and they're basically running the mining operations. They need people here to think they're living in normal lives and keep them enslaved to paper, so they'll go out and do all the mining. You know, but it's all this big scam. You've got to look at the whole thing on a global stage, you know, and realize that this one world government is actually already here. And where it's going, I mean, what they're doing to the human race and where they're taking us, it's into this Orwellian transhumanist robotic just complete nightmare society. And while they're doing it, they're extracting every single resource that they can from the planet. I mean, the big energy demand that we've got. I mean, we need energy. We need energy. We need to go and destroy the water table in order to collect coal seam gas because we need the energy. And we need to suck all this oil out of the earth and mess up the earth's crust because we need oil, because we need energy, all this stuff. But there's all these free energy systems that we could actually be using. We don't need to be doing any of it the way we are. So, you know, what we've got here is a society that is being used to extract every single resource from the planet. That seems to be the whole purpose of this society. And that's what people aren't seeing. And you've got to look at your country and look at what you're doing to your country and how it affects the world on a global scale. And if you step back and look at the world, put it all there on a global stage and look at it as if it's a business or a shop front or you know, like a game of Monopoly or something. And just look at how it works and look where things are going and how resources are being transferred around and what's being done to the people, and it all becomes pretty clear. So that's the way people have to look at things. And we've got to, you know, it's pretty urgent what we're facing, what's going on here. And the only people who can fix it is us, is the people themselves. There's no remedy. There's no remedy in the political system. There's no remedy in the legal system, because these systems are designed not to protect the people or to protect anything. They're designed to protect the system at the expense of the people. That's what's going on. So you can't work within the parameters that are granted to you by the system. You have to think outside of that box and realize that the system is fiction. It only exists on paper. It's just an idea.
I was just thinking that just this, as late as this morning, Max, is that every choice that we're given is a false choice, okay? Like, if there's a right choice, it's not one that's made aware to you. That's one that you either have to make up out of thin air, like the government makes up money, or you just have to create it because it doesn't currently exist, sort of thing, right? I have sort of this trepidation about coming into the unknown, sort of thing. You know, oh, we don't have a government anymore supporting us and giving us the dole and providing us with the military and security and all of that kind of stuff. And then you realize that, hey, wait a second, all of that stuff's actually used to make us dependent, and when we decide to become independent, it's used to enslave us. So regardless of what options they give us, we know for a fact that we cannot take them, and we have to make up our own options, basically. Now, that dovetails with the election of Julia Gillard saying, oh, she's got an awful accent. It sounds like a seagull that can't squawk through its mouth, only through its nose. Like, she just goes on TV, tells everybody that she doesn't believe in this global warming nonsense, and we're not going to have a carbon tax. And what's like the first legislation she passed?
Yeah, well, you know? Absolutely. I mean, yeah, she was elected on barefaced lies. I mean, and that's just the way they do it, you know? I mean, a carbon tax is just a tax on life. That's all it is. Tax on breathing, tax on life. They say, oh, you know, all these carbon pollutants like carbon monoxide. Well, fine, put a tax on monoxide. Don't put a tax on carbon. You know, carbon's one of the building blocks of life. How can you tax that? It makes no sense at all.
Oh, you have some morons out there like 350.org, and they're talking about what the post-carbon era. It's like, bro, you're a carbon-based life form. The only way it's going to be a post-carbon era is if you kill yourself, which I'm not opposed to.
Well, you know, it all comes down to transhumanism as well, doesn't it? You know, if you really look at where they're taking us, that'll be a post-carbon era. I mean, there'll be little bits of carbon, but not a lot, you know. carbon will not be the dominant life form on the planet once that happens, you know?
Well, see, the fact of the matter is they're making a post-carbon era as we speak, you know? They got it all wrong. And they don't understand the science. They don't understand the politics. They don't understand the economics. And yet, for some reason, they think that they can dominate all life without any knowledge of it.
Well, yeah, the problem is that people live in their own little boxed view of reality. So you can't often blame the people within the system because they're just doing what they're trained to do. You know, people are, they're just so brutalized through life, through their school system and through everything. And they grow up and they finally find this one little path that they think they're safe in, as long as they don't think outside of this box. And so they stay in that box and they work up through their business in order to, And they work to make their business more efficient, because that's success. That's what you're trained to do, is to get into some little compartment and make it more efficient. And you believe that is helping things. You know, suddenly I'm getting extra wages, I'm getting little rewards, I'm getting little bonuses because I'm working so well to make my little box view of reality more efficient. And I never think outside of the box. So a lot of these people, these politicians, these executives, what they're doing within the structure of their system is succeeding according to their way of thinking. They can't understand what the problem is because they don't look at the bigger picture. They don't see what they're actually involved in. So you can't blame these people personally. And that's why you can't work within the parameters provided for you by the system, because the system will tell you you've got to fill out these forms, you've got to do all this rubbish. It's just all fiction. I mean, it's just all paper. I mean, you wipe your butt with paper and start fires with it. You don't write rules that control your life on it, because it's just paper. It doesn't make sense, you know. It's just ideas. And they create all these ideas, they pass them as legislation, and suddenly they've replaced actual law with the will of politicians.
Well, the politicians are the lords, and we are the serfs. And isn't it lovely to be surviving, not thriving, but soon to be exterminated. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. We'll be back in a moment at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Join us in the chat room at The Vinnie Eastwood Show.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in 3 models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Newt Gingrich was a career politician selling access here in Washington, D.C.
The year that he ran for Congress in 1978, he made a grand total of $10,000. By the time he became the Speaker, he made $675,000. By the time he left Congress, he's brought his net worth up to about $7.5 million.
84 ethics complaints while he was Speaker, driven out of the speakership in disgrace.
Having to pay $300,000 for lying, for complete fraud.
And I have lots of things to do. Maybe earn a little bit of money.
Newt Gingrich is also the latest example of how the corrupt revolving door drives Washington.
Made $100 million playing the revolving door game.
A big part of that is just lobbying money. Congress is really bought and sold. They're bought and sold legally.
If you've been Speaker of the House, you're always an insider.
Gingrich received up to $1.8 million from Freddie Mac just before it collapsed.
This guy hasn't got skeletons in his closets. He's got a whole graveyard in there.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
BusinessAmerica.com reports gold prices paused Monday on profit-taking and a firmer dollar. Gold last traded at $1,730 an ounce, silver $3,350. Price of gold is roaring back from its latest temporary correction, reports Forbes, sending the bears into full withdrawal. Gold, you see, is not a commodity like oil and copper and wheat. It's rather an alternative currency, as the supply of gold cannot keep up with paper money. Seems clear the bull market in gold is alive and well. Gold apparently is the Chinese priority for a safe haven when slow economic growth leads to widespread monetary easing and fears of inflation. Gold, more than stocks, bonds, or real estate, is obviously seen as the preferred way to store wealth. You could say gold is the hottest currency on earth. Central banks are also holding more gold in their reserves now than they have any time in the last 6 years. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com or give us a call, toll-free, 800-289-2646.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with your host, Sean David Morton.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the crusade against scumbaggery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on international AM, FM stations all around the world, and also online. You can also, indeed, listen to the show if you don't have a radio or internet connected. If you've got a phone and you're in the continental US, the number is 704-772-7627, and then you enter the code 1008 0. So that's 704-772-7627, 1008 0. And the phone lines are now open, ladies and gentlemen. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com from Australia is my guest today. And speaking of Australia, the Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, had a wee bit of an incident not too long ago where she was allegedly, and big quotation marks saying, allegedly hurried out of a restaurant by her security and even lost a shoe, like a little Cinderella from a desert alcoholic nation.
Yeah, look, that was such theatre, Vinny. It was absolutely incredible. I was looking at the video, and it was actually quite humorous. It was terrible acting. You know, it was really terrible acting. You've got these police officers, and they're rushing out of the building. And they're all pushing each other and shoving each other to make it look like they're being pushed and shoved, because they are, because they're pushing and shoving each other. And around them is a group of cameramen. You know, there's no other people anywhere around. It's just a group of cameramen, like paparazzi, chasing them. You know, and this one part where Julia Gillard is you know, falling over and being dragged by the security guard and all this, and the police are waving off the cameramen, and one police officer in particular was jumping up and down on the spot to make it look like he was involved in some sort of an incident. You know, and there was nobody around. They're actually going out the back door of the building. They could have walked calmly out there. And there's this guy out the front with this token shield, like he's pushing through the crowd, but there's no crowd. There's just nobody there. It's hilarious, like, to see this guy running along with this shield and everyone, put the cops all pushing and shoving and jumping up and down around the Prime Minister, and there's absolutely nobody there except cameramen. It was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And there's one part where Julia Gillard's in cradled in the arms of this bodyguard. She's being dragged off, and she's got this huge smile on her face. She looks like she's about to burst out laughing.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
I will always lie to you. Yeah. Julia Gillard and the bodyguard. Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. You know, and I've got some friends who are actually down there at the 10 Embassy for Australia Day, and they said it was incredible. There was no violence at all, and the only violence came from the police after Julia Gillard left. There's also a scene in the news report where you see these protesters with arms linked, and they're sort of crashing and stumbling around. And if you look closely, you see there's a couple of police behind them pushing them in the back to make sure that they're crashing and stumbling around. And they're ringed by police, and they got about eight guys, the police ringed around them, and they all sort of got paranoid, so they all linked arms. And then the police started pushing them around while the camera guys filmed it, so it looked like this jostling crowd. And you can see the cops there doing it.
We do have to wonder who's got the most brutal police force. Like, most people would point at Americans because they tase everybody, and if they don't tase them, they pepper spray them for no reason and whatever. But I have heard so many bad stories from people that I know personally about Aussie cops to disregard them altogether, kind of thing. In fact, one of my former flatmates was beaten by cops with bags of oranges that they had in the back of the car so that they wouldn't leave any bruises.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of mentality of these people. See, Australian police have been training with Indonesian police, who are renowned as some of the most brutal in the world. And they swap ideas and methods. They've been doing that for a few years, ever since the whole Bali facade happened. But Australian police have been traditionally pretty brutal. They've always been pretty brutal, especially around Victoria and places like that. The cops in Victoria shoot first and ask questions later. More people murdered by Victorian police than any other police force in the country. But yeah, they are traditionally pretty brutal, Australian police. I mean, there are some good ones. There are some good cops in there. There's always some good cops. But they get into this peer group, and they've got this overall consciousness. Once they're together and they're all in uniform, see, all their uniforms, I mean, these are all energetic as well. The uniforms are all covered in occult symbolism and sigils and all this sort of stuff. I mean, you can get into the whole ritualistic, Freemasonic, energetic thing of that as well. I mean, if you really look at how reality works, I mean, this is going off on a real tangent here, but if you really look at how reality works and how sacred sigils work, each sigil, like even a cross on a church, sets up an energetic frequency. And these police officers have all these sigils all over them, stripes on their arms and little badges and insignias and all this sort of stuff. And you try it yourself. If you go and put a uniform on, you feel different when you've got a uniform on.
Oh, yeah.
You feel different. You go and just walk into an op shop and get a military uniform and put it on, and you will feel different. And the more the more stripes and the more sigils you put on there, the more different you feel. So it sets up an energetic resonance. And when you are with other police officers, it almost becomes a pack mentality amongst
like
those
it's a wind tunnel for scumbaggery.
Well, well, that too, but it's like all independent thought is removed from these people when they're in that group and they're all in the same uniform and there's certain energies there that are being generated and it's very aggro and it's very, everybody's an enemy. When you're a police officer, everybody's a threat. Everybody's your enemy. It's the most paranoid, melodramatic, disconnected culture that's ever been created, the police mentality. These people are so disconnected from reality. And otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do what they do. They wouldn't be able to go and brutalize people and harass people all the time the way they do if they weren't incredibly disconnected from reality and they didn't see everything around them as a threat.
Well, in New Zealand, it's going to be a full-time job now because our Justice Sinister, who's also the Sinister for Corrections, Judith Collins, and that's and she's also the Police Sinister too. So she's got like the whole mecca together under one big fat angry woman belt. It's very scary. Anyway, she is now trying to pass a law. In fact, I think it might have even already been passed. That means that if you assault a police officer, even when they're off duty and they're not police officers at that point, it still gets classed as assaulting an officer. So they are, even in or out of uniform, they are basically gods.
Well, you know, and assaulting them is also, you know, if you defend yourself against them, they'll say you assaulted them. If they come and push you and you push them back, if they punch you and you punch them back, that's assaulting a police officer. But no, actually, they assaulted you. You were simply defending yourself. So what they're doing is they've given the police basically the monopoly on violence, right? They're the only people who are allowed to be violent, and they are the most violent people in all of our society. When you go out and you go to any of these meetings or these protests, I mean, everything that just happened in Australia Day, the violence was started by the police. You look at what happened at the G20 summit, the violence was started by the police. At all the Occupy events, the violence was started by the police. The violence is always started by the police.
Always.
And if it's too obvious that they're starting the violence, some of them will get out of uniform and put on hoodies and coats and backpacks and go in there and join the crowd, and they'll start the violence from inside the crowd. You know, agent provocateurs that actually are police officers that go in there to start violence because they want it to be violent. They want it to appear violent for all the sheeple out there who only believe what the television tells them.
Well, just the other day, Max, we were down at the Occupy Auckland. They retook the square right after being evicted, violently, of course, and the police took a guy who had assaulted one of the protesters, just some allegedly random guy kind of thing, just being violent and crazy and yelling and screaming and stuff. And by the time we'd actually marched up to the police station to protest there, they were already letting that guy out, and there were two cops just leading him out of the cells and walking down the road, talking very nicely to him and that kind of stuff. And it was just everybody when agent provocateur.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do it all the time. The violence is always started by the police, and they get away with it because the government legislates them to have a monopoly on violence.
And if they don't do it, they get somebody who's like really mentally ill or crazy kind of thing to do it, you know, with the promise of a good meal or $50.
Yeah, or
something
just blank
from the someone. Evidence locker.
they'll just do something themselves and then blame it on someone like that, you know, like they've often done, you know, always get the mentally handicapped guy and blame him for the terrible murder like they did with Martin Bryant. There's no way Martin Bryant carried out the Port Arthur massacre. That's just not physically possible for him to have done it. And but again, he's locked up. He's been in jail for years and years. He'll rot in there. Mentally handicapped guy, IQ of about an 11-year-old. You know, no gun training. No way could he have done any of that. But he's the perfect scapegoat. So that's what they do all the time in order to get legislation passed.
Yeah. Have you noticed that that's how legislation gets passed? Like, I was kind of thinking the other day, Max, that there's no need for any legislation like in the last 50 years or something to have ever been passed. Almost every single one of it has been in result to one instance, which the law already covers perfectly, and then that being hyped up, blown out of proportion as a direct excuse to expand state power. And that's the only thing that's the only legislation that's been passed in the last 50 years is that exact same mock-up.
Absolutely. I mean, all legislation is what is legal. It's replacing what is lawful with what is legal. You know, legislation, L-E-G, legal, L-E-G. And all legislation is are statute regulations that are given the power of law through consent of the governed. And legislation is designed to remove natural law from the planet and impose the will of politicians in its place. That's all it is. And it's just rules on paper. It's saying, look, you know, I've got the, you know, we've got the legal right to do this now. We can come onto your land and we can destroy your water table. We can put a gas well in your backyard and we can put you in jail if you complain about it because I wrote on this piece of paper that that's what we can do. And look, it's got a little fancy letterhead on it. So you have to agree with it because it's got this little fancy letterhead and a gold stamp on it. And if you don't let me do this, then I've got these guys in blue uniforms who are going to come around and grab you and they're going to put you into a cage. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I wrote this on a piece of paper. And if you disagree with me, you might be a terrorist. You must be a terrorist because you're denying state power. You know?
Yeah, it's basically, unless you are a complete mind control slave, you are a dangerous terrorist.
Absolutely. And that's what they're doing. And it's just, you know, just because somebody wrote this on a piece of paper that says they can do this, I know they have the legal right to do this. It's law. No, it's not law. It's legislation. It's a statute regulation. You know, I don't have to abide by your statute regulations. Who are you? You know, I mean, I abide by the law of God. The law of God is to do no harm. Everything that I do in my life is to do no harm and to improve my reality by my presence in it. And we, you know, mankind, God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. Man created society. Society created government. Government created statute law too. So you know how to govern your own affairs. If you're claiming that I'm subject to that statute law, then you're claiming you're a higher authority than God. And I need to see proof of claim, please.
I'd have to see proof of sanity, please.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the attitude that people have to have. We have to realize that the government are our employees. They're our administrative arm. We employ these people. Remember, they go to office and they swear to serve their nation. Well, they're not, you know, and they're getting away with what they're doing. Like the servants have taken over the mansion and they're getting away with it because we're out in the backyard watching sport and drinking beer and watching television. We're not holding our servants accountable for their actions. And they're writing out these little rules now to say, look, you can only use the lounge room on Wednesdays and you've got to walk on the left-hand side of the staircase and you've got to put the garbage out for us and you've got to do the dishes and you've got to do all this stuff. So the servants have taken control of everything and now they're stealing everything. They're selling all the silver. They're stealing everything they can from the people because we are not holding them accountable for their actions. And the only people who can hold them accountable for their actions is us. We can't ask them to investigate themselves. Oh, we think the government's corrupt, so we want you to have a government investigation. I mean, what the hell is that all about? Vinny, I think you stole from me, so I'd like you to investigate yourself to see whether you did. I mean, you know.
Well, as long as you pay me a finder's fee to gather evidence on myself.
Yes, I know, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is absurd. The only people who can hold the government accountable are the people. And we don't do it because we've forgotten who we are and we're living in these divided societies. We think the neighbours are a threat to us. We think that everybody around us is a threat to us and that what life is all about is climbing to the top of the pile at the expense of everybody else. And so we're missing the...
And later on do you find out that pile is made out of poop. We'll be right back after the show, after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. Join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Call in 218-339-8525. Back in a moment.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of bark. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts? Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis? No problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education? Gone. Interior, Energy, HUD, Commerce? Gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul. Do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Ron Paul, a visionary who predicted the financial crisis, a leader with a plan to solve it. The Paul Plan? Balance the budget. Cut $1 trillion year one. Eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. End the foreign wars and nation building. Rein in the Federal Reserve. Pay down the debt. Cut taxes to create jobs. Ron Paul, a plan to restore America now.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold is the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come. You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Central.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild in the sunny slave South Pacific, broadcasting with nanotube technology implanted in your brain, dumped via chemtrail chaff from ocean-going airliners. Max Egan is my very special guest. Speaking of culture, he happens to have a few little nanobot cultures going on in his wee room at the moment. And what's the difference between Australians and cheese? If you leave cheese in the desert for 200 years, it develops culture. Max Egan, welcome back.
Nicely said, mate. Nicely said. We do have an Australian culture, though it just involves lots of alcohol.
Yeah. Is there kind of an accentual difference? Why is there so much alcohol in Australia? You know, like, I can understand New Zealand being the second highest users, pun not intended, the second highest users of cannabis per capita in the world, the number one being, of course, Jamaica. But why are Australians such pissheads?
Well, they've just been trained to be that way. I mean, it's all about beer and football. That's the culture. That's the Australian culture. That's what they've given to everybody. You know, keep people doped up on beer. They don't really think about what's going on too much, you know. Most people, you know, have a few beers on the way home from work, get home, have a six-pack, whatever, you know. Everybody, it's just the culture. It's just what it is, beer and barbie and football. That's Australian culture. That's how they get away with turning the place into a mine, you know. People just
sounds obscenely boring.
Well, you know, that's Australia. That's just the way people do it. I mean, it's a beautiful country. There's plenty of stuff to do, to lay around on the beach, swim in rock pools, go surfing, you know, beautiful, beautiful coastal areas. And you just sort of sit around and relax. And if you sit around and relaxing, well, you have a few beers. That's what Australians do. It's kind of bizarre. I'm not much of a drinker myself, but you certainly see a lot of it in the big cities. I mean, you don't see a lot of it around here in Byron, where I live in Byron Bay. But in the big cities, that's just the culture. But see, that's, you know, it's the working guys. You know, yeah, we're the working Australian, the working class. You know, so you get these guys out working on the mines, they're quite happy to do it because they think it's manly. You know, the whole place is just being turned into a mine or a gas field. That's the plan for Australia.
Drugs have become some sort of social lubricants, and you'll find out that as soon as you stop taking particular types of drugs, whether that be alcohol, caffeine, or marijuana or whatever, you find out that you no longer have anything in common with all those people who were your drinking buddies.
Yeah, I'd say that would be a big problem. You know, I'm sure that happens in all sorts of drug cultures, absolutely.
And so what would happen to Australians if alcohol was suddenly not available? Nobody would have any friends anymore.
Well, you know, in Australia, as we know, it won't be here for that much longer anyway, because they're turning it into a gas field, basically. They're extracting all the natural gas they can out of it, and that's going to pollute the water table. And the Australians are a spring-fed nation. All of our water comes from the Great Artesian Basin. And the way it's going, you know, if this is allowed to run its natural course, within another 5 or 10 years, all of the water table is going to be polluted. So you'll have to be living in the big cities. And the only people that will be, you know, working there will be people that work in the entertainment business or hospitality business, or, you know, selling food to each other. And, you know, it's just this, it's kind of bizarre. Or you'll be working in the gas fields, you'll be working in the mine. And but the population will be very, very greatly reduced from what it is now, because, I mean, you're going to have to be drinking recycled water. They're really, really doing a number on this place. I think they want to put a nuclear waste dump out in the centre somewhere as well, in near Western Australia or Northern Territory as well. So, yeah, it's pretty well all over for this country unless the people stop it. And it's the people, like we were saying before the break. It's got to be done by the people. Now, the only reason you've got to abide by all of this legislation that they put in place, the only reason you've got to pay land taxes, the only reason you've got to worry about things like this food bill, is because you live in a divided community. Because everybody within your community is fed information from a little box in the corner of their room, and they're told what reality is, and they're told to be afraid of their neighbours, to be afraid of everything, because the whole world's out to get you. Work to climb to the top of the pile, because life is about the one with the most wins. That's what we're taught, and to be in a constant state of fear. You know, but if the government comes and tells you to jump and you say no, and then they arrest you for it, well, you know, they're not going to be able to if your whole community's there. If they all say, no, we won't jump. Not just him, but we won't jump. You know, if they introduce this food bill, the first thing the people in New Zealand need to do is all grow as many gardens as possible and start sharing vegetables with each other. Straight away. The whole country needs to do exactly the opposite of what this food bill says. Because that way...
And that goes for everything. Do the exact opposite of what your government tells you. Government tells you to vote, don't vote the way they want. Vote no confidence. You know, if government tells you to pay tax, don't. Government tells you to abide by the laws and statutes and everything that prevent you from sharing food with each other, don't. Don't comply. Don't comply at all, because it's when you – and don't be silent either, because that is the same as compliance.
Absolutely, absolutely. Non-compliance is the way to fix the whole thing. You can't fight the system, because if you start fighting against it, you've got to work within the parameters that it provides. What you have to do is disconnect from it. You've got to realize it's fiction. just the realization that the system is fiction, that's all you need to do. That's absolutely all you need to do. Just realize that it's fiction. And then start supporting your neighbors. You know, realize that there's only really one law, and that's do no harm. Serve creation by your presence in it. Improve reality by your presence in it. See every person around you as being as valid as yourself. Of course, your perspective of reality is valid, no matter how wrong I think it may be. Now, because it's your perspective. It's based on the influences and the experiences that you've had up to that point in your life. So how could I possibly see it as invalid? You know? And if we have a problem with each other, well, perhaps it's because we're both disconnected from reality at that particular time. We don't understand how it works. Why can't we see each other as valid? How could I believe my perspective is valid if my perspective chooses to invalidate your perspective? How valid's mine? You know what I mean? Because we are all in this together. In Lakesh, we are equal. Once people can do that, the whole system falls away. It's really that simple. You know, it's all about
it's like looking at an ice cream cone from two different directions. One person sees a cone and the other person sees ice cream, and they both think each other's wrong. Well, the fact of the matter is you're both right, but you weren't listening to each other. And that's what people need to stop doing, is telling each other that they're wrong and start blimmin' listening.
Well, it's just that we see the people around us as a threat, because we're kept in this little boxed reality. We're taught that it's all about acquisition. You know, human consciousness has been so brutalized, and people individually, you can't blame them for being the way they are. They've been subject to this left brain education indoctrination system that's told them that they must think within this little box, and if they think outside of the box, well, you're going to be ridiculed. People aren't going to like you. If you ever show people who you really are, they're not going to like you. You need to fit within these parameters. You need to look this way. You need to walk between the lines in order to be accepted. And by the way, the one with the most wins. You know, that's what people are told. You know, and you know, I've got more stuff than you, so I'm a better person than you. You've got less stuff than me, so I don't want to associate with you. You're a lesser person than me. All this sort of stuff. And we miss out on who we are, and we're kept divided from each other, and so we're ruled. Because we are divided from each other. Everything about this society, everything about the education and social system and political system and legal system is designed to divide society, keep people in these little boxes, little fences around each other, and everybody's fenced off from everybody else, and make sure you see them as a threat. You know? And if you don't, we'll put a bunch of subliminals in these TV programs, and you should behave the way these people on the TV do, because that's normal. You know, and they tell you what reality is. They tell you what's going on around the world, even though you've never been there. Well, yes, we need to go and bomb Iran because the television said we have to. That's all they know. They've never been to Iran, met any Iranian people. They don't know what the country's like. They don't know what the people are like. But the television said it was a good idea, so they'll go along with it because if I don't, I'm not patriotic. You know, and it must be right because it said it in the newspaper too. Doesn't matter that the newspaper is owned by the same person who owns the television station, but it says it in both these mediums that we need to go and bomb Iran. So it must be true because the politicians are saying, and they actually said it on television. So it was on television. I mean, it's got to be real. And this is the mentality that people have been brought up with. And if you think outside of that box, you're going to be judged by your peers. They're going to think you're weird. They're going to think you're a kook. Or maybe you're a terrorist. Maybe I should support you. You're speaking out against the government. You might be a threat to me, you know.
It's a brilliant system of self-enforcement. The slaves actually enforce each other's behavior by ostracizing those who break out of the paradigm, who realize, hey, wait a second, I'm not free. Going and getting drunk with my mates isn't freedom. Having to work every day and getting half of that taken away by tax and the other half taken away by bills isn't freedom either. And they have this realization. It's like, whoa, oh my God. And they go around and they tell everybody about it. And everybody's like, no, you're just crazy. That's stupid. Look, mate, just have another beer and accept that you're free, okay? It's a closed circuit paradigm. Don't stop drinking.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that. But also you have people that have this realization and then they go, oh, I better not tell anybody about it because they police themselves. It isn't only that they're policed by the people around them. They police themselves. They give themselves this kind of homemade mental nose job which lowers their intellectual profile to the point where they can still maintain their ability to be one of the guys. You know? Like, that's what it's kind of about. You know, we actually police ourselves and prevent ourselves from being who we are because we are afraid of showing the people around us who we are. You know?
That's exactly right. We're all really afraid of rejection, aren't we, Max? And that really affected me when I first woke up to all of this kind of stuff, is that, should I tell them? Should I not? I'm not sure if I want to tell this parent about their child being vaccinated and maybe advise them about how to get some of the toxins out of their child's bloodstream because they're autistic and all of that kind of stuff, you know. It all comes to mind, but you wind up policing yourself. And the funny thing is that if you don't police yourself, then the other people will police you if you don't.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you've got to figure out how to tell people. What you've got to do is offer suggestions to people. Don't ever tell people about vaccination. Don't ever tell people they're wrong. You've got to show them a different way and suggest to them and let them discover things for themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Max Egan is my guest from thecrowhouse.com. Call in over the break, please, ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8525. We'll be right back. Delete the virus, alert the masses.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on a frequency of pure scumbaggery. It's fabulous, isn't it? Low resonating frequency, making you feel that fear, that darkness, in the deep, deep places of cockles in your heart.
Yes.
Why? We're actually trying to inject a little bit of levity, like a vaccination, except it works! In a good way, not a bad way. My very special guest is Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com. And over the break, we were talking about Michael Jackson and the allegations that he was, in fact, killed off because he was trying to expose the New World Order, and his next tour was all about that. And when you have a look into the entertainment industry, Hollywood, the first thing that I think is probably most poignant and important for people to comprehend when they're looking at any kind of entertainment figure or industry of any kind is mind control, because that's exactly what it is. You have a look at a Beatles concert before Paul, before they stopped, you know, doing live performances, because allegedly Paul died in a car crash or something, and you could just see the effect that this boy band has on all of these girls. They're obsessing with them as if there's nothing else in their life, and it just looks like immaculate, like fabulous methods of mind control. And it still goes on today. There is, in fact, more than you can count on one hand, manufactured boy bands, artists, filmmakers, etc., who have been groomed, placed, and are being used as we speak as the ultimate mind control weapons against our youth. What do you think, well, Max? Is that about right? Well,
absolutely. The music industry is very much about mind control. And like you can do it through the culture. You don't necessarily even have to groom the individuals within the culture. You can do it within the culture, because if you present this culture to people, they will emulate it. And then you get all these young bands growing up, and you just got to pick and choose and promote the ones that look right and see which one takes off. And if that one takes off, well, okay, go that one, push that one. I mean, and you've got bands such as U2, Bono, who's I think he's might have even been knighted now. I'm not sure. I know Bob Geldof has, but Bob Geldof, I mean, the whole Live Aid thing was a complete sham. But getting back to U2, I mean, you've got a band here, and this band received OBEs. They received orders of the British Empire in thanks for the service they'd done for the British Empire. And people say, oh, it's because they're such a big money-spinning band, they brought all this money into the British Empire. Well, no, it's not. It's because they controlled the minds of an entire generation of children. And these people were more interested in U2 albums than they were interested in looking at what was going on in the world around them. So they managed to distract that entire generation of people. The Beatles all got OBEs. John Lennon gave his back. He said, no, I know what it's about now. I don't want your award. I don't want any part of the British Empire. In fact, I'm going to move somewhere else. And he moved to America and got shot, unfortunately. But so, because, you know, America, back then, people still thought there was some hope of freedom within the American system. People didn't really see it for what it was. It took John Lennon like 5 years to get his approval for immigration to go into America. But he actually gave his OBE back. But you've got to ask, why would all these bands, these rock bands, who are supposedly rebellious, you know, I'm a rock musician, I live on the outside of society, I write songs and scream about how bad the system is, and I keep a whole section of youth, they listen to my albums and I scream about how bad the system is, it raises that energy in their body, and they actually feel that they've done something against the system because they sang along with my song. But they never actually went and did anything you know, and they release that energy. Now they feel calm again. They'll go back to work. They'll go back to sleep. They'll go back and do their stuff. The next time they're angry, they can come and listen to this song. Gee, when I'm angry, I just feel like listening to this thing, you know. When I'm sad, I feel like listening to this thing. When I'm happy, I feel like listening to this thing. So we express our emotions, and we express our emotions through this medium of music that's been put there to so we can do that, so we don't ever apply it to the real world. We don't ever act out the reality of what we're supposed to do in the real world. That's the beauty of music, because it arouses these emotional extremes within people, and it makes them feel like they've expelled them. You know, if you're really angry, you can go and put on an Iron Maiden song or something, and you can sit there and scream at the mirror or scream at the wall, and you can feel like you've done something.
But now, in reality, you haven't done jack.
No, they haven't done jack, and that's why, you know, at the end of it, you guys were great. Have a medal for service to the British Empire, because you controlled. I mean, here you got an Irish band, you two. You know, England and Ireland have been at each other's throats for years, and suddenly you've got you two. There was a whole section of Irish youth that never rebelled and never acted against England, and allowed England to get sucked, and allowed Ireland to get sucked more into the United Kingdom. Because they didn't act, because they're listening to U2 albums and expelling all their emotions that way. So here's an Irish band that receives an order of the British Empire for service to the British Empire. No one even thinks about it and looks what's going on here. Bono's walking around with his rose-coloured sunglasses and acting like he's really cool, and he's hanging out with Brezhnev and hanging out with, you know, Nelson Mandela and presidents and all of these full-on Illuminati figures. I mean, what do people think's going on here? Of course it's about mind control.
Yeah, oh no, it's about philanthropy and doing the right thing and giving everybody wonderful things to hope for. Like, I might be as good as you too if I just listen to them enough and never practice.
Yeah, well, yeah, the whole thing's a scam. It's like Live Aid and Bob Geldof, who got knighted for Live Aid. Now, the money that got given to Live Aid, millions and millions of dollars, was misappropriated. So much of it just went missing. It's probably in Bob Geldof's pocket for all that we know. All of this aid that was supposed to go to these African nations and these African tribes and people, all of this was misappropriated. The people within Africa heard about Live Aid, and they were all told to go to these certain refugee camps to pick up their aid, and they travelled right across from their countries to these certain places to receive the aid that this huge global thing had brought to them. And when they got there was nothing there, and they died in the refugee camps because the stuff never left the docks. You know, the whole thing was a scam, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people died because they went to pick up aid that was not there. All the money was misappropriated, and then at the end of the whole thing, Bob Geldof gets a medal for service to the British Empire and gets a knighthood. Now, what do people think's going on here? You know, and like I said, the only people who can do anything about any of this is us. You know, we see Live Aid on TV and we open up our bank accounts, we give money to some stranger because we believe that he's going to go and help out all these Africans. Why don't we do it ourselves? Why don't we just connect with our community and build strong community and grow a lot of food and send it over there? I mean, you know, we could do it. We can do anything we want if we have community. We don't have to abide by any of the legislations or anything these governments are doing if we have community. That is what's wrong.
It's the exact same thing with all of those, you know, Christian charity funds and all of those kind of stuff, you know, Save Africa and UNICEF and blah, 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 blah. All of these different organizations are basically just fronts so they can take people's money and leave the Africans out to die.
Well, basically, I mean, you get an organization like UNICEF or World Vision or something. There's thousands of people work for this organization. You give them $10, all it does is go to pay someone's wages within the organization. Give the $10 to the guy in Africa, you know?
There was some dude in a mall where I was one time working for UNICEF, and they had a little stall and everything like that. And they were telling me that the UNICEF is not affiliated with the United Nations at all. Okay, what does the UN and UNICEF stand for then, douchebag? I mean, these people are dumb, really dumb. It's plain English right there for everybody to see. And yet, denial is very, very strong, isn't it?
Well, you know, the world's just very badly managed and people don't see it, and that they always believe that the fix lies in them doing something by remote control or not doing anything at all, or I'll just give something to you and you fix the problem. You know, I'm not going to apply myself to reality around me. I don't like living in this divided community, so I'm going to vote in a new government and they're going to fix it for me rather than me actually uniting with my neighbours. It's that sort of a mentality. Everybody wants everything done for them. They see that there's a problem, but they're just too apathetic and lazy to fix it, mainly because they're fluoridated. That's what fluoride does to people. You say, oh, yeah, the world's really bad, but, hey, you know, what can I do about it? There's nothing I can do.
That's the funny thing, isn't it? They treat that question as if it's a rhetorical one. What can I do about it? Whereas me, if I ask that same question, what can I do about it? And I'll actually start thinking, you know?
Yeah,
and that's what people stop doing. When they're afraid, they don't think.
Well, they just don't believe there's anything they can do. And it's very hard for them to retain the focus. Now, they're just distracted. They got all these alpha waves coming off the TV. They want to get that ball game. They want to... You know, a lot of people can't even relax without turning on their TVs anymore. They like the energy field that the TV sets up because they're interacting with it electromagnetically and they don't realize it. It's putting them in that alpha state. As soon as they turn it on, you know, the carrier waves into digital systems, all of this stuff's designed to put you in an alpha state. And that's how you relax. If you sit around, you get people who watch TV all religiously every night and you try to go and visit them and turn the TV off and sit around and talk to them for the evening, and they can't relax. They don't know how to. They feel uncomfortable because they're communicating with someone real on a real level and they're not in that alpha state that the television gives them. And that's the only way they know how to relax. You know, and
the CIA figured out decades ago that brainwashing and mind control is actually addictive. And that's why people find it difficult. Have you ever had a TV on, Max, even if it's on mute, how difficult it is to actually physically look away from it? Like you really do have to consciously decide to look away from it. Otherwise, you could just stare into it for hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, just having one on in the room, the sound doesn't even have to be on. It's just got to be running in the corner and it's setting up that alpha state in the room, setting up those alpha waves in the room. I don't even own one. I've never owned a television. I haven't had one in my house since 1995. And when I go to someone's house and they've got a television running in the room, I get physically uncomfortable from the energy state that it creates. Literally physically uncomfortable. I don't even like being in the same room as one. But they're everywhere.
My girlfriend, when she comes home and she turns on the TV, My impetus to work and make videos and edit audio archives and doing all the stuff that I do, just disappears. Like my impetus to actually make a difference in this world kind of goes away.
Yeah. Well, that's what television does. That's what it's programmed you to do. It puts you in this alpha state where you're just sitting there in this sort of zombie land. You know, it's like almost in a half reality, you know what I mean? And it just does it. And with fluoride muddles the brain a little bit, so it's kind of hard to just kind of think really clearly and just kind of really put things together. And even when you start gaining a bit of a picture, you get distracted by something and it goes away and, you know, you've got all this stuff to think about, the work and the bills and all these things to keep you distracted, you know. And the more people wake up, well, we'll just raise the prices of things a little bit because that way people have to run the treadmill a little bit harder. We'll go and harvest a few whales over here and we'll go and blow up a few Iraqis over here because that'll keep all those factions divided from each other. That'll keep people busy on the treadmill and busy squabbling about all these little side issues, which are all simply symptoms of the one problem, which is the corruption of the system itself, which exists because we don't address it. We don't address it because we're in fear of ourselves and in fear of our neighbours and we're in a divided community. That's the key to the whole thing, is common unity back in community and non-compliance to what is essentially a fictional system that only exists on paper. You know, it's just mind control. Everyone's got this cage around their mind because they believe the system is real, but it's not. It's just an idea.
I just wanted to read out something for you, Max. I mean, these are the headlines. I get these email updates from the mainstream media news here in New Zealand each morning. And what I want to do is actually run through each of these headlines with an activist that I know each morning, like 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or something like that, so they can give us the story behind the story or deduce whether or not this is relevant whatsoever. So we've got Mega Uploads Kim.com back in court. Okay, so there's the state repressing, yeah? Over 100 missing in PNG ferry disaster, death and disaster. Treasury pushes for bigger class sizes. Oh, well, everybody's going to be a little bit dumber because they don't get enough attention. Earthquake rattles lower North Island. Oh, you're going to be afraid of those elements. Sevens fans complete for $25,000 in costume showdown. Mate, you've got to be distracted by sport. Ronan Keating to appear on Breakfast. Oh, we love that mind control. So on and so forth. It is unfreaking believable. Not a single story that these douchebags come up with any day of the week has any relevance for me as a human being.
Yeah, it's all about fear. It's all about fear and mind control and keeping people terrified of reality. You know, keeping people in that box. But don't ever look at us. Don't ever, you know, you don't ever see anything about the banking system in there. You don't ever see too much about government corruption in there. Now, you don't see the headlines saying, oh, government removing more of your rights this week, which is what's actually going on. You know, now look at all this other stuff, you know, and be in fear, got to be in fear. And if you see anything unusual, please report it to Homeland Security, you know, and don't forget to get up and go to work in the morning and don't think outside the box because if you do, people won't like you. All the information you need is here. You are now informed. We've told you what's going on. Now go back to work or go back to the television.
Go back to your distractions. Have you noticed that that's the only thing that there really is in abundance these days? There's an abundance of distractions and there's a shortage of creativity and action.
Well, there's a shortage of creativity because of they're squashing the right brain. I mean, they're making it illegal to be human. And even if you want to do some type of self-expression, it's got to be under controlled, you know, very, very controlled supervision. You know, they've got police officers in high schools now because, you know, a childhood prank is now against the law. You know, what was once part of growing up is now against the law. Recently, there was a six-year-old boy in America who was charged with sexual assault because he brushed his hand on a young girl's leg while they were playing tag, right? Like, this is a six-year-old. Six-year-old's got no concept of sex or molestation. They don't even know what sex is, you know? And he's playing tag in the schoolyard with his friends. And I know his hand brushed against the girl's leg and the teacher saw it. That's sexual assault. The headmaster held him in the office for 2 hours until he confessed to sexual assaulting this girl. This is a six-year-old boy.
It's like the Spanish Inquisition out there, you know?
Nobody expects a six-year-old to be charged with sexual assault.
I mean, this could damage this kid for life, you know what I mean? I mean, and this is the mentality of the people that are actually teaching our children. Well, this is the people who are in charge of our scholastic system. Our scholastic system is designed to totally remove humanity from the children, to train them to think inside this little box view of the world, to always respect authority, you know, and to get right out of your right brain, get only in your left brain, and you've got to be able to regurgitate things on command, and we're going to test you on your ability to regurgitate on command, and if you don't do it right, we're going to demote you to being like a C-class or a D-class person. You know what I mean? We're going to grade you as a person. It's demeaning.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to grade you like a carat of gold of some description, like you're a fracking commodity. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about using human beings for all the resource value that they are and then exterminating them once you don't need them anymore. And we'll be right back at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.